Hello.
Welcome to What's Your Deal? I'm your host, Ariana Lenarski. This is the podcast where we read tarot for special guests to find out where they've been and where they're going. With me today is the lovely and talented Lauren Wilkinson.
Hi.
Hi, Lauren. Lauren is the author of the acclaimed novel, American Spy, which came out in February and has been on countless best of lists since then. And most recently, I was very stunned and excited about this, was shouted out on Barack Obama's summer reading list.
I was astonished as well.
I mean, I shouldn't say I'm astonished. Actually, of course, he's late. Actually, it should have been like his spring reading list. Where has he been? Like,
I knew.
Like, he's honestly like, get it together.
Yes, but I was definitely shocked.
Can I ask you a little bit about, because I can't imagine waking up and getting name checked by Barack Obama.
It was, first of all, with that kind of thing, I just assumed that there would be some sort of back channeling and you would hear beforehand.
Yeah.
But it was actually, I'm subletting. And the woman I'm subletting from, she's like, oh, you probably know this, but you're on Obama's summer reading list. And I was like, what?
So basically just a random person told you,
yeah.
Like not your agent, not your manager, not a friend, just someone,
your
landlord, basically.
Yeah, she texted me when I was in a work meeting and I had to pretend like things were normal when they were not
deeply
normal.
Deeply not.
Yeah.
Did you tell people right away or did you kind of go into sort of a zone?
Yeah.
You had heard someone that had died.
It was a weird zone. I was like this whooshing noise in my ears. And I was like, I don't know what was said in that meeting at all. And then I told them, at lunch. But I was like waited 2 hours or something. It was crazy. And I was getting a ton of texts.
Yes.
And like, but yeah, it was like, it was good drama, good theater
right.
for me to pretend that I was paying attention to anything
right.
that was happening at work. I was not.
Do you think, I'm curious now, like, does this mean someday you're going to meet Barack Obama? Like, what does this mean?
I hope so. I mean, I think that's always the dream. I mean,
I think it
always
will.
The
yes.
dream, like for years.
Right, right.
One day, me and Barry, just gonna kick it. Yeah.
I think it's possible. I think it's gonna happen. Again, he's late. So I met you in March, was it, or was it April? That you
March.
Were staying with me.
March.
In March. Mm-hmm. I sublet a room in my house and just for like a couple months at a time. And I like sort of like to think of it almost like a way post where people like come and go. Mm-hmm. And I sort of try to inundate people with witchcraft while they're there. Which I feel like I sort of did to you a little bit.
I was very on board. Yeah. So
I mean, I try to only let witchy types come into the waypost, the witch's waypost, I guess I would call it. But it's funny because you're born and raised in New York,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which there's a lot of people in Los Angeles like that, but I feel like there's sometimes less openness to weird stuff like that from New Yorkers.
That sounds about right.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I've always felt kind of open to, just believing that there's more to life and experience than, what I can perceive. So,
mm-hmm.
And it has really served me to be open. So, yeah.
I think you're a very sensitive person. It seems like you're the type of person who can walk into a room and quickly understand what's going on, like within an instant.
I hope to. I try to, because it feels like if you want to write novels, you should be somewhat emotionally sensitive. I've met a few authors who feel very self-centered, when they're very, very established authors. And that always seems like a hindrance to not really to your work. Because how can you believably write other people if you're not paying attention to them, I guess. Mm. So,
do you think that for the most part, when you are writing characters, how much of it is based on your interactions with actual human beings and how much is based into maybe like what you're sensing, if that makes sense. Like, how often do you feel like, do you feel like you typically know how, you're the one that can help someone understand how they're feeling, or do you feel like you receive what they're putting out?
I think that no, because I don't think, I think it's mostly, you know what? I don't know. You know what? I'm just going to admit that. I don't know because, you know, it's my own perception, mm-hmm. and it's like filtered through me, and I can't tell where, you know, maybe like into my intuition, I can't tell the boundaries of my intuition where it stops and starts. So, you know, for all I know, my perception of other people is really, really, really strongly influenced by my intuition about them. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's just like, it doesn't have like a firm boundary, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like, it just kind of feels like I guess like you said, like a mush.
Mm-hmm. This sort of like watery mm-hmm. collective.
Because you just get a sense about someone when uh-huh. you meet them. And then I think in retrospect, you can be like, oh, why did I think that, you know, about them? Why mm-hmm. did I get that impression? And when you analyze it, then maybe you can try to parse, you know, what it was that they told you versus what it was that you sensed. But I think mm-hmm. just in the moment, it's hard to do that.
Interesting. I think I sometimes tend to be someone who is trying to sense the meaning behind the words. Like, I don't always take people at what the words that they're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm looking more into how they're saying it, and I feel like I'm always like peeking behind what I'm being told. And I'm only lately like, maybe I shouldn't do that. Like, maybe that's not the right way to.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that too recently, because it is so much about, you know, projection is very.
It's crazy. It's like it's everything. Very present,
yeah.
In fact, I'm worried there's nothing but projection. Like, it's an actual fear that I have.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it might be. Like, I'm a little worried that everything is projection.
And we never know, so.
Great.
Sorry.
So what does one do without, if you, okay, I'm obviously just bringing up the stuff that I've been thinking about for the last like, couple days, but maybe it'll be of interest to you. So if we don't know if everything is a projection, it's hard to tell how to handle the separate being of somebody else, mm-hmm. basically. How do you sort of handle this feeling of not knowing what's going on? Just make space for it?
I think that's probably our only choice, you know, right? Like, I think just because there are no firm answers about really every kind of existential question doesn't mean that, you know, you just kind of, I think the only thing that you can do is just accept that you don't know and you probably can't know, and just, you know, conduct your life just trying not to harm other people and from like a place of love, because that's really all I think you can do. I think trying to analyze it, you know, is going down a rabbit hole for sure, that I get trapped in mm-hmm. a lot, you know. So I think you kind of just at some point realize you kind of have to give up and focus your energy elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got. I'm sorry.
I think that's perfect. It's interesting because there's this sense of like, well, I don't know. And then you just kind of accept it and enjoy life, like curiously enjoy life.
Until you get, you know, sucked into that analytical
cycle again. Like,
oh, my
thoughts are real. Oh, my thoughts are real. Everything I'm thinking is real.
Yeah.
So, like, how are you applying? I guess I'm trying to ask, well, what story are you interested in telling at this point in your life, basically, in relation to your philosophy of life of mm-hmm. like, well, I don't know, we're going to curiously think about what's happening. What stories have been the most interesting for you to tell?
It doesn't,
they're related.
Yeah, I guess I feel like they're not related. Like, I, you know, I moved out here to LA because I got a job working in TV, and that's a big platform. And, you know, as it stands, I don't really have any control over the story that it's not my story. So I can't, you know, I don't have full control over what's being told. But I have been thinking about that recently because, novel readership is much smaller, obviously, than TV readership. And so or TV viewership, rather. So I've been thinking of like what my obligation is to when you have, you know, when I have a bigger platform. And I think for me right now, what I would like to start pushing is socialist matriarchal propaganda.
I just got a rush in my body.
I think that we need to, I was actually inspired by that horrible person, Ben Shapiro.
I love that you just butchered his last name.
College with a Ben Shapiro, and I always say his name first, Ben Shapiro.
No, let's stay with Shapiro.
I think that Ben Shapiro, he left Twitter because so many people kept thinking he was Ben Shapiro.
Wow.
Poor guy. He had some weird propaganda. Like, he had some video recently that he released that was about how Hollywood is a propaganda machine, and, you know, they're just shooting into your eyeballs all of these stories about leftist, you know, elite values. And I was like, I woke up that day and I went to work in the writer's room and I was like, this is awesome. Like, all I have to do to make this person so frustrated and upset is just to exist and to believe the things that I believe. And I would like to, you know, take that as far as I can. I would love to write a story about, you know, there's a story I want to write about a con woman who I feel like, and I think secretly this is just about, like, you know, low key about redistributing wealth, because I think we need a new system. We need a new economic system. You know, we're sitting here and, you know, all these horrible, horrifying things are happening. And I think they'll continue to happen if we maintain the economic system we have. So I guess what I would like to do, where I would like to tell stories, is to come up with, you know, ideas that are different, that suggest that there's a different way of doing things. I think that would be helpful.
And also throwing a con woman in there is just...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Love a con, love a scam.
Yeah, I do too. I love a good grift. She's conning an even bigger con man, but no one understands that because he, you know, owns a securities firm. Uh-huh. And a lot of bankers are kind of con, you know, it is a...
Very much so, yeah.
It is a con, so... But it's certainly... You know, it's the small time crook in this story who is criminalized, but the bigger con, the guy who owns the securities firm, is much more damaging to society. So,
I was thinking recently about the woman who just committed a crime in space. Did you hear about
space crimes? No, I didn't.
It's wonderful.
What is a space crime?
She is an astronaut. Mm-hmm. She was lesbian and had an ex-wife who I think they have a child together. It might be the astronaut's stepchild. But it was the first crime ever to be committed in space. I'm so proud for the lesbian community for this.
Me too.
She hacked into her ex-wife's bank account from the International Space Station.
The footprints of that are so big that they're going to so obviously be able to trace that back. And there is really a very few likely candidates for that crime.
Immediately knew. It was like, who could this be? Who could it be? I think they're still doing a little innocent until proven guilty thing. But it was something, there was some kind of domestic drama where it was like, I wanted to make sure she was spending money appropriately on our kid, like something kind of like that. She wasn't trying to take money from her. She wasn't trying to steal. She was just trying to like observe, I think. I think I'm getting that right. But it made me think about femininity, the what crimes femininity will trend to sometimes. And it usually will be like scams, grifts, somehow acquiring things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Less than like violence.
Yeah.
But this is a pet theory. Like, this is not something I haven't done any research whatsoever. I'm just like thieves, like that sort of like resource oriented crime, if that makes sense, rather than like brutality.
Yeah. My boyfriend was telling me recently, he's a software engineer, about, I guess, I think the thing about him being, let me take a step back. As a software engineer, there's a whole language of his craft that I don't have any access to. So it is like hearing, sometimes when he's with his friends, they talk about things and I understand from the rhythm of the conversation that a joke has been made, you know, and I will laugh along, but it is just like following along and
like an alien language.
Yeah, I have no idea what anyone is saying. But he was talking about, I think he called it social engineering, or it's like a type of social hacking, I think maybe, where, and he said that women are much better at this thing because
tell me more.
It's like, so it's like a question of, you know, if you want to get information about someone. And he said, like, I think he was talking about a particular woman who's very, very good at it, good at this form of hacking. And she was giving a presentation, and she wanted, her goal was to get the username and password of a man in the audience's bank account. So what she did was she, this was a conversation about hacking and the, traditional ways. But then when you add a social element and bring people into it, how that is changed. So he, gave his name and she called his bank and, put on a, like presented herself as being very harried and that the family was really busy and this was her husband and they gave his password and information.
She did this live to show.
She did it live to show that it was a possibility.
So did the guy, was everyone horrified or was it kind of like did it end up seeming kind of like a party trick or? I think just to prove how easy it was, right?
I think it's like a serious problem in security issues with, with privacy and data, and that people are very focused on like security that is based in engineering and, your password and make sure your username is, but also that if, we need to be aware that if there's a social element, if humans are involved and there's space for human error and that type of hacking. So,
well, we're going to hack into your subconscious now.
Uh-oh.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to read the Tarot of Lauren Wilkinson. Welcome back. We're going to read the Tarot of Lauren Wilkinson on What's Your Deal? But before we do, I just want to finish the thought we were having about how this woman was able to basically socially hack into this man's bank account, and what you're saying about her basically manipulating the way people perceive her.
Yeah, I mean, because it always just is a question of perception. It's not any objective measure or any indication of objective measure about a woman or women in general. It's just that there's this like strong, there's so many strong social perceptions and that are go completely uninvestigated. And there's something very interesting to me about women being able to take advantage of that in this particular arena.
That both terrifies me and intrigues me at the same time, because it's kind of what we're talking about earlier of like, how can I ever tell what's really going on with this other person? 10 times more if they're consciously being like, I'm going to be like this. I'm terrified. Like, that's terrifying. What do you do? I mean, it's the same thing. You just have to be like, hope it doesn't happen to me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. We were talking about cons and grifters. And one thing that is very interesting to me is that there is a con for everybody. Everybody is susceptible to one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, there's a con. You just have to, the person who is conning has to kind of be very good at figuring out what your particular one is. Yeah. So there's, you know, you can dismiss. I think that's something that we should all be aware of, because you can dismiss something and say, why would someone spend all that money? And it's like, don't think that that makes you means you're not susceptible mm-hmm. to cons. You're not mm-hmm. susceptible to that one. But there are surely, you know. I think it's, I know the ones that I'm,
you do know the ones you're susceptible to? Are you willing to share? Maybe you shouldn't share them.
Not all of them, but I do think that I can tell there are certain sympathies that I have that I feel like if someone like, you know, really honed into them, that they would certainly be able to take advantage of me. And then I'm sure the ones that scare me are the ones that I know there are things that I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. and that I would be like, oh.
I didn't know I had that weakness.
yeah, now it's too late. So I think that's very, very interesting thing. That and another interesting thing about con artists is that they increase when we can't trust in our institutions. So I think
we're running rampant right now.
Yes,
probably?
We are in a new age of con artists.
Oh my God. I mean, you are getting a tarot reading right now. I have heard about people who give thousands of dollars to tarot readers, which makes sense, I guess. I think what happens a lot with tarot readers is they probably are very intuitive, actually, and sensitive, and can cold read easily.
Mm-hmm.
But then also are con artists and use that to basically make the person think like something's terribly wrong with them and only they have the key.
There was a sensational case a couple years ago in New York where a man was bankrupted he gave this woman who claimed to be psychic hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, it felt so sad because this guy he was investing all this money in her because she was promising that a woman he was in love with would come back to him. And, you know, he was paying a lot of money for spells to get her to come back. And then eventually he became aware that she had died and that there was and then I think that was when he had his wake up call. Wow. But he'd already, you know, gone into serious debt giving this woman money. Yeah. So there's.
Wow. That's crazy. So I need $500
before we start.
Well, what are you interested about? What are you interested about? What have you been thinking about lately? I'd like you to shuffle these cards.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like some guidance about today?
What do I want some guidance about?
Or what's been on your mind?
Oh, my professional life has definitely been on my mind. But, you know, honestly, balancing it with my family life, it's not one or the other. Is that mm-hmm. Can I do that? Like I don't want to talk about career or love. I want to know about
the integration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's actually honors Tara probably even more to be like, how can I integrate the parts of my life?
Yeah.
Because you're quite close with your mom, right?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the boyfriend I mentioned is in New York. So, but my work is out here and, you know, I don't want to have to choose between them.
Okay. So. We're going to bend time and space for Lauren. She thinks I'm kidding.
Can I just
go ahead and shuffle
like a regular?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good. You're thinking about temperance and integration, health.
Mm-hmm.
Living a healthy, vibrant life.
This feels good, actually. Okay. I know that was only one.
But. No, that's great. You can set it down right there. Mm-hmm. And with your left hand, go ahead and cut it into three separate piles.
Okay.
And with that same hand, put them back together in any order that you choose.
There we go.
I'm going to say a brief prayer over these cards. We're going to do Celtic Cross. Oh, there she is. That was easy. We got Temperance right at the heart of the matter. So, pulling a Celtic Cross for you. This is a very typical tarot spread that I think I've done for you before, maybe? Maybe we've only done three-card spreads.
I think we've did the three-card.
Three-card? Mm-hmm. So this bigger spread takes a more holistic look at everything that's going on in your life. There's the devil. So, oh, great. Really pretty spread here. So the six cards here in the middle, there's like a sort of more cyclical looking part of the spread off to the left. This is kind of represents the more feminine principle. I mean, it's kind of genitalia based, where like this is the vagina and this is the dick. This is just basically like the cycle of your life as it's going right now. This is sort of so this is the system of your life essentially here on the left side with the six cards, and then this staff going up on the right side is your singleness of purpose, sort of like where you're headed, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So at the heart of the matter, you have the Five of Swords. Five of Swords kind of reminds me of what we're talking about right now in terms of people losing faith in institutions, like everything kind of falling apart in terms of trust, basically. Mm. This shows how aware you are of how much open dishonor is happening everywhere right now. That's basically his deal. It shows a figure that's holding these three swords that he seems to have clearly won from these figures that are behind him that are kind of walking away looking somewhat sad. And there's this kind of jagged clouds behind him. Hmm. This is what you see when someone, when there's a kind of energy that's obsessed with control rather than connection, that really believes that cruelty, brutality, anything that makes a pathway to control is the only way to go. Mm-hmm. There's no working with this kind of person or institution, basically. When this is the energy that's there, it's like there's no chance for connection. So it's just like beating your head against a brick wall at times. Sometimes it can also feel a little bit like a stalemate. So if we're talking particularly about your question of like integrating both these things, there can be a little bit of like, how can I tell myself a new story so that it doesn't feel so impossible to integrate these two things? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because what this usually indicates is that whatever story you've been telling yourself just doesn't work. It's two steps forward, three steps back. Mm. Crossed by Temperance, which I assumed was going to come up. This is exactly what you're talking about. Trying to shows this figure that is floating above a lake with one foot in the lake, one foot on the ground. So it's like intuition in the lake and then intellect on the ground, sort of wanting to be practical and emotional at the same time. Pouring his cups back and forth to try to get the right temperament? Or what's it called when there's like, you know how sometimes you see things where there's like different colored sands?
Oh.
I
thought you were talking about like equilibrium before.
That's what it is, though. That's what I'm talking about, yeah. Which doesn't always look like equilibrium is different from equal measure, mm-hmm. you know? And that's what temperance is about, really, is that it's not 8 hours of play, 8 hours of work, you know, it's everything. Finding the right mix mm-hmm. is not always about equal parts. So for these two, it's just basically what we just literally were talking about. So that's at the heart of your matter, the question of like, how do I find my balance so I can work with these, so I can spread my socialist matriarchal propaganda?
Yes.
In the past position, reverse chariot. So this shows coming to an understanding. When the chariot is upright, it's a lot about healthy ego, really putting your will forth no matter what other people think. It's like, I'm going to drive forward. I'm going to do this the way that I want to do it. I don't really care what other people think. And when it's reversed, it's sort of like realizing that your will is sometimes not enough. Mm. Sometimes more soft control is needed. Mm. that's much more about hard control. So this shows that there was a kind of acceptance, kind of what you're talking about at the start of the podcast, about being like, I don't know sometimes. Like, I've just had to kind of accept sometimes that I don't know. That's the healthy version of the chariot reverse. That's in your past position. So you're coming from a place of both knowing you can impart your will if you want to, and also having now made the space for things to kind of come and go without you like having a tight grasp on them, basically. Little Page of Wands here.
Hi. Your conscious position. Hi.
He's so sweet. These are your goals. This is your ideals. This is what you hope will happen. This is what you're conscious of. It's what you talk about with your friends. Pages always come delivering a message. Wands is creativity. And also passion. It's represented by the groin. It's sexual energy as well. All pages don't have any baggage at all. They're very like childlike energy. Maybe I shouldn't say like sexuality and childlike energy, but it's more like the innocence of when you're young. And he seems kind of like the fountain of youth to me in a lot of ways. So for this to be in the conscious position is like, I know there's a chance right now for me to be bold, or like to jump into a new creative project, or like basically feel excited, like feel vitality and feel passion right now. In the unconscious position, so this is more like the latent part of what's going on with you, which isn't being spoken of quite as much, is the reverse Two of Pentacles. So when this is upright, it's about, it's actually very closely related to temperance. It's almost like the minor version of temperance. As you can see, there's kind of like the temperance angel is balancing their cups and he's juggling his coins at the same time. So this is about, this is what you really want, is to be able to balance everything in your life, work and play, and be able to work numerous jobs, be able to live in LA and New York. It's everything that you're kind of hoping for. This little clown is almost dancing with the troubles that he's not even really troubles. It's just like the reality that he's faced with. And when it's reversed, there might be a slight worry that about your own resilience or your own ability to like be supple when it comes to these things.
Yeah.
You know? But it is present. It's just, since it's reversed, there's this sort of like still fear that somehow rolling with it is going to make you crack somehow. You know what I mean? That's kind of the worry. So it looks like what's entering your life to kind of help you feel that playfulness when it comes to balancing all these things is Judgment. Great card. This is the card that tells you you already know what the path is. You just have to start walking it. Which happens a lot with people where they're like, I have no idea. And it's like, you do. Like, it's just you have to start taking the steps towards it. Judgment is always about really hearing your call very clearly. And yes, it does make it, it does indicate a crossroads at times where you have to make choices that are very difficult and cut the wheat from the chaff and that kind of thing and get off the fence a lot of times. But it always leaves you with a feeling of like rejuvenation and sometimes usually absolution. And so a lot of what I think is going to help you find this integration and balance, oddly, is a lot of self-forgiveness, because it's not going to be that always that easy to make things work. And you might feel like you, quote, mess up or something like that. But Judgment promises that as long as you really are honoring what you're hearing, and I know that you're a sound witch and like you hear, that's going to always lead you down the path that already is laid out for you, basically. And you'll be eased through that with a lot of forgiveness, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's a great card. I love Judgment. So as you move into this new energy, we're going to go up the staff to see how you go into that direction. Here's the Devil. Kind of similar to the Five of Swords. So this represents you right now. So I would say that there is some element of when the devil comes up, it usually shows that there is still some bondage that you're experiencing in your life somewhere where you do feel shackled in some ways. The devil is a liar. He just lies and wants you to believe those lies and stay close to him and believe that you're somehow not worthy or somehow not deserving of success, or that you will be attacked if you shine as brightly as you know you can shine. It's all these kinds of abandonment, you know, all these kinds of things. So this is but the devil really only comes up when you're ready to see him, basically. You kind of wouldn't be able to see it otherwise, if that makes sense, because you wouldn't be ready. But, you know, the devil he's an illusion like anything else. I always say how these figures have the chains around their necks, but the chains are very loose, so they could really slip them off at any time. And it goes along perfectly with the Five of Swords at the heart of the matter when I said how it's time to tell yourself a new story, basically. That's the same thing with the devil. The way out of his madness is to be comfortable with holding space for his lies without believing them. That's basically, it's still going to come up. Like, there's still going to be, and that goes along with forgiveness as well. You're probably still going to think things that make things hard for yourself.
Yeah.
But they'll be, you know what I mean?
Yes, I really do. This is very...
Sorry to...
Yeah, it's, you know.
but, you know, that's... judgment versus the devil is... There's no contest. Like, judgment leads you out of the doorway every time. So, you're good. And your environment is the Hanged Man. Very interesting card to see in one's environment. Hanged Man represents doing things... Getting what you want by doing the opposite of what you think you should do. The Hanged Man comes after the card Justice. So he is contemplating the reality of his life and how every action he's done up to that point has led him to where he is, and that there's a sense of justice around all of that. And sometimes that can fuck us up. Like, it's like, wow, so all of everything makes sense. I got here by, like, step by step, and I have to account for everything that I've done so far. So he goes to the Tree of Knowledge and hangs upside down to kind of take a pause and to meditate and decide kind of where to go from there. He also hangs upside down to sort of show that there's acceptance about the things that have happened to him previously. So I would think that in your environment is a lot of people reckoning. Like, that feels like the Hanged Man is a sense of, like, reckoning, and then what comes after the reckoning of, like, taking this pause, because the Hanged Man knows that you not only should you not control everything, you can't. So there's that sense going on with him, basically. Hopes and fears position. It's funny because it's like, it almost seems literally to be like, am I going to have to fly across the country back and forth all the time? This is usually the card of material coming and going, like money coming and going. But it's also like your literal physical body moving from place to place, the Six of Pentacles. It's about giving and receiving. It's about the pendulum of how material force kind of just goes in and out, in and out, in and out. And when it's reversed, it's kind of similar to the Two of Pentacles being reversed, where it's like not wanting to go into material flow for some reason, which is very different than emotional flow, different than intellectual or creative flow. This is just literally like your body having to go from place to place, your money having to paying more money, you know, spending more money than you've ever spent before.
Yeah.
In a way. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And it kind of just isn't fun. Like, it's just it or well, you're it's showing that there's a hope and fear of this. A hope that somehow weird, like hope that money and material stuff won't flow, and a fear of it. So that seems related to the devil as well, and also to the latent position. So, but it looks like the overall outcome here, the star, such a sweet thing to see at the top of the staff, speaking to the whole spread, basically. The star's hope, even when you appear to have no material reason to do so. It's really the most peaceful card in the deck, and it shows that you're really in a place now where you can trust peace that you feel, calm that you feel, and that this is a time when you can give. Like, there is ability now for you to give in the material world. That seems to be a little theme throughout here, that fear of that. But the star is a promise. It says you're on the right path. This is the light that you see at the, at the end of the tunnel is real. It's not a train. And there is promise. And all you have to do is have faith in that, which isn't that fun, but it does flush out all of the lies of the devil, basically. And what I think you already believe, like, I definitely think of you as someone who understands what it means to have faith in your path, basically. And not in like a religious way, just more in a like, well, here I go. Does that make sense? Does that resonate?
Yes, well? It really resonates. I heard you, I think you said control 3 times.
Yeah. Here,
which, I think I get kind of locked in worrying. And I don't know, I think I need to, like, guidance of like this is so important, because it just, I need to remember to, that kind of control is an illusion, and that I'm really just all the worrying and stuff. It feels like one of the illusions is that it feels like it helps me. It helps me be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can come up with if I can see in my mind every possible outcome, then it feels like I can have control and that I can make the right choice. But
I'm getting red as well right now. You just said that.
But that is like the toughest illusion, and the one that that's my biggest illusion. And it's something I have to contend with now, because that really it's not true. So I felt this really resonated with me, because I do feel like what you're saying is asking me to confront that, and asking, me to confront the lies that I believe that kind of make me feel secure, but are kind of, in a way, a yoke or shackling me. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, A+. I just learned from you, which I do usually do.
Yeah, this was really great. Thank you.
I'm so glad. Thanks, Lauren. How can people find you if you want them to find you?
If I do, I am Thrillkinson on social media, and that's probably the best way.
And people can buy your book wherever they
can
please.
They can certainly buy it. They can buy it at Skylight Books, a nice independent bookstore here. And I think there's an audible copy, if they want to listen. There's electronic copies. It's all over the place. You can get it.
Please go get American Spy. Don't be left behind. Thank you again, Lauren, for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.